Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and let's join for a few moments in silence before we dive into reading together. And let's begin our practice with taking a nice deep breath in and releasing that breath. And one more time, taking a nice deep breath in, really softening the abdominal muscles, softening that belly and releasing. Turning awareness within to that quiet, still space where Holy Spirit abides.
Amen.
This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. Taking a nice mindful breath in and out. And with that love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. All righty. So we are transitioning into a subsection in the Foundation for Inner Peace. That subsection is beginning now. It's called The Obstacles to Peace. That subheading is coming up in the Sparkle and Original Editions, but you'll see actually why it makes sense that the FIP editors moved the subheading, because we're going to start talking about the obstacles to peace right away. So we are in the Sparkle edition. If you have that edition, it's page 458. Halfway down the page, the sentence begins with the words, "As this peace extends." You can find that in the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, Chapter 19, Part 4, Paragraph 37. And that corresponds to Chapter 19 in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, Chapter 19, Part 4, The Obstacles to Peace. And again, just a reminder, if you have any background noise, if you can mute your line by pressing star 6. Thank you so much. So here we go. As this peace extends from deep inside yourselves to embrace all the sonship and give it rest, it will encounter many obstacles. Some of them you will try to impose. Others will seem to arise from elsewhere, from your brothers, and from various aspects of the world outside. Yet peace will gently cover them, extending past completely unhindered. The extension of the Holy Spirit's purpose from your relationship to others, to bring them gently in, will quietly extend to every aspect of your lives, surrounding both of you with glowing happiness and the calm awareness of complete protection. And you will carry its message of love and safety and freedom to everyone who draws nigh unto your temple where healing waits for him. And I'll pause there. Just a reminder for anybody who's new or newish, we take it one or two paragraphs at a time and then talk about it. So feel free to ask questions to share your insights. I'll just share a few things that come to mind first as I read this. First, although we're talking about obstacles to peace, it's really important for us to remember the paradox of the Course, that although here it's using words like will, you know, peace will extend, these things will happen, and that immediately wants to bring our mind into the future, that this is something that's going to happen in the future, it's really important for us to keep in mind that the paradox here is that this is already done. This has already happened. It's just our own desire to not accept the fact that this has already happened that therefore it seems like it has not yet happened. It still seems like we don't have peace. It seems like we have, you know, a million issues, anxieties, fears, things that need forgiveness. So it's important for us to keep in mind, you're going to hear this language of peace, you know, it will extend, but remembering that this is already done. So this peace comes from inside ourselves. It comes from Holy Spirit within, from our right mind. And the obstacles that this peace seemingly encounters, it says some of them you will try to impose. So here is an example of how there's part of our own mind, I'll use myself as an example, there's part of my mind that loves being Corinne. Bless you. If that
Thank
was
you.
Me, I'm not sure. Okay, I'm sorry. That was a sneeze. I wasn't sure. Sometimes it can be some kind of feedback noise too. So, anyway, it's important for us to. I lost my train of thought. I'm so sorry.
Is it part of you that loves being Corinne?
Yes, thank you. There is part of me that loves being Corinne, and that part thinks that if peace were to flow across it, that it would be no more. So the ego's goal, and that part of my mind that is Corinne, is ego. It's my belief in separation. That part of my mind doesn't want to let love in because it thinks that I will then stop believing in it, which is actually true. Because if I did experience, if I did know with a capital K, know, the love of God and knew, really knew that this was all a dream, I'd be done with it in an instant if I really, really knew that. So there's this unwillingness to heal that we've talked about many, many times on these calls, and it's important that we be willing to look at that unwillingness as we touch it, as we are able to get in touch with it. Because this peace extending itself over everything only happens when we're ready for it. So that's something that's really key to remember too, that this process of awakening is extremely gentle and it only happens as we let it in. And I've said many times on the calls before too that when we touch this, when I touch it, it's like, my goodness, why did I ever defend against this? Why did I ever think that, you know, I would want to keep this peace, this love of God, this, why would I want to keep this out? But again, it's just that small part of the mind that likes playing with these children's toys and these games, as the Course teaches, that thinks that peace needs to be kept out. So it's important for us to keep in mind that some of these obstacles we try to impose, it goes on to say, they might seemingly arise from elsewhere, from your brothers, from various aspects of the world. These are, again, just reflections of our own separated split mind that, again, is hanging that dangling golden carrot saying, hey, look, this is really real. You better take the bait. You better, you know, breathe some fear into this to keep this going. So it's not really that anybody else out there is ever doing anything to us. It's all aspects of our one split mind that are all sort of trying to keep this dance of separation going. So I feel like I said a lot. I'm going to pause there, and I'm wondering what has come up for anyone.
Boy, it can really be challenging when you're in situations with people where you don't like what's going on, you know, to remember to call upon the Holy Spirit. Because really when we do that, I mean, the shifts take place right before my eyes at least.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, is remembering that we want to do that, remembering that that makes us happy, but even if we don't remember in the moment, we can do it afterwards.
Yeah,
we can even do it beforehand, saying, hey, Holy Spirit, I'm about to go into this. I'm probably going to forget about you, but I'm asking for help now. Whenever we remember.
Yeah, it really doesn't make any difference because you know, the Holy Spirit is available in every situation at all times. So even if we fall flat on our face in those situations, when we leave it and call upon Holy Spirit, you know, the shift can take place then. It just doesn't matter.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Beautiful.
Corinne, hi. This is Homira.
Hi, Homera.
So, in response to what Paula said, I'm confused because I do use this. I've been using it since I started kind of reading with you guys, where I'll go into a situation that I think may cause, you know, that I normally have some sort of conflict with someone. And usually it's a family member. I know that at times I do forget. So maybe I'll, you know, ask the Holy Spirit to guide or be my guide in the interactions. And it's a hit or miss. It's not always, because I hear you guys saying when you ask the Holy Spirit, it always answers. But for me, it's been hit or miss. Is it that somewhere deep inside me, I'm still resisting that, or is there another thing that I'm supposed to be doing in addition to what I do?
Yeah, that's it exactly, in my estimation, because and we don't always see it right away, but you know, when we're open to it, it unfolds, at least for me. But that resistance,
go on, Paula.
Resistance is the problem. If it doesn't take, it's thinking how it should take place a lot of times is the problem. You know, thinking we really know.
How can I identify?
That's an important point.
Because I don't even. I guess I'm unaware. I there must be some sort of resistance, because if you guys are all saying truth is always true, either God is or God isn't. So I agree that somehow if you're doing this in the right way from a heart level, it must work each and every time. So then my next question would be, is there a way to identify the resistance? Because at times I'm not even aware.
I'm sorry, could you just repeat what you just said, Homera? You're not aware sometimes of the resistance and how to identify it? Is that what you're saying?
Of what the resistance actually is, that I think that I'm going and asking full-heartedly, Holy Spirit, please guide me in this interaction with this person. You know, I for the greatest good of all, I put all my, you know, decisions into your hands, all of that, and yet the situation that then transpires after that sometimes isn't a peaceful one, let's say. It's sort of the old conditioning habits that still come up. And
I'm
going to jump in there first, and then I think I heard Deidre, and then I'm not sure who else I heard, but we'll open up in a second. I just want to add a couple things first. So one thing that we need to keep in mind from the get-go is what Paula touched on initially, the idea of how this interaction should look. So our expectation that if we're doing this work, that things out there are going to end up being peaceful is actually one of those sort of sneaky traps, because then we can doubt that what we're doing is working if that external picture still seems, you know, icky, because there can be times when, honestly, my gosh, for years in my struggles of anxiety, I was doing this work, and although I was having like little reprieves of peace, I was still in the thick of it. Like it didn't let up for quite some time. So it's important, number one, to practice non-judgment for what it is that's transpiring around us that we're in, you know, whatever that is, whether it's peaceful or not, can still be of ego. So I'd say that's number one, is to refrain from judging the situation. Number two, if you're talking to Holy Spirit, you're doing the work. And that is where we can sort of really plant our feet and just trust that you're talking to Holy Spirit. That's beautiful. Now, the Course says that trials are but lessons you failed to learn presented once more. So where you made a faulty choice before, you can now possibly choose again. So this perhaps is what you're speaking to about maybe like the old conditioning coming up again and up again. And I can really relate to that. Again, my easiest example, I have many, but easiest one being anxiety. The way that it's been helpful for me to look at the resistance is by first just being willing to acknowledge that there's, even if I can't name the resistance, being open to the idea that it's there, which it sounds like you're there. It sounds like, you know, you're, you're open to and willing to look at that. The other piece that I just wanted to share, I'm just looking for a course quote that I know I have on my wall somewhere. Here it is. I don't have a page reference at the moment because I this is the downside of having so many editions of the course. I have this as text page 452, but I know it's in the other editions, but I can't tell you at the moment. I'd have to look at it. It says, your willingness need not be complete. In other words, it's okay that we have unwillingness. It's okay that we have resistance. So your willingness need not be complete because his is perfect, because the Holy Spirit is perfect. It's his task to atone for your unwillingness by his perfect faith, and it is his faith you share with him there. Out of your recognition for your unwillingness for your release, his perfect willingness is given you. So one thing that you can do is literally say, in those moments where you know the old conditioning is coming up again, you can say, Holy Spirit, what is it that I need to look at here? What question is it that I need to ask you, even? You can ask Holy Spirit, you know, for what is it that you need to look at, if there is something? And kind of pause with that and maybe journal, you know, maybe see what comes up surrounding that. The recognition that there's part of you, I'm going to use you as an example, and this applies to all of us and to me. The recognition that there is part of you that loves being Homera, the recognition that there is part of me that loves being Corinne is the resistance. That's the bottom line resistance throughout everything. So even if, I mean, that's really what it all boils down to. So even if there's not a specific area that you can identify some resistance, if you can go to that place of like, you know, maybe there's part of me that when, and I'm using myself as an example again, when I'm fighting or arguing with my dad, there's part of me that feels like raw, like powerful. You know, there's part of me that kind of likes the conflict. There's the resistance. there's my desire for wanting to keep Corinne going, wanting to still play this game of Corinne. So that's always the resistance, is that desire to be this separate self. So does that help?
Oh my gosh, you don't even know how much, and especially the part I think that you shared about your anxiety, where I think that when it doesn't happen for me, when I hear like Paula week after week after week giving us examples of how, like, just saying Holy Spirit, you know, can you help me see this differently, and it shifts, and then I think what am I doing wrong? Why is this not working? And the fact that you said it took you a while to, you know, you just stayed with it, even though you weren't getting the results per se. Maybe you would get some reprieve, but not fully, completely freedom from your anxiety. It helped me a lot to say that, okay, this is maybe just the process, and I'm wanting instant gratification like I want in a lot of things. So
I think
that's really helpful.
I think also the ego steps in there, and the ego idea is this isn't working, or no, you know, the ego is the voice of doubt, and that seems, you know, that's the importance of really looking at your thoughts in these situations, because when we hear that doubt, that's just that block. The ego doesn't want us to get this. Just doesn't want us to get this.
Because what's under the ego is the love of God.
The
ego's
of
job
God.
Is to blot it out and to keep us looking anywhere but directly to the love of God. So, yeah.
Well, sometimes what I have thought is that I get in my own way. I try to determine what I think the outcome should be and how it should all go. And then when it doesn't go that way, I think that I haven't heard the Holy Spirit or I've failed.
Yeah. Yeah. Linda, that's so, I really resonate with that. I think we all do. That's spot on.
And, you know, what is it? There's a, somewhere in the Course it says the greatest defeats are our greatest victories, and our greatest victories are sometimes our greatest defeats, because we don't know the whole thing.
Yeah. Right. And we get caught up in deciding that we do.
Yeah, and we've decided that we know the answer.
Yep. I'm glad that you brought that reminder up about how the Course says that, because that's so true, that we judge our greatest failure as our, like, oh, I did it. I've surmounted the ego. I am enlightened. And yet the times that, like, we have made advances, we're like, oh, I suck at this. I'm failing the Course. So
exactly.
We need to stop judging, because we don't see the whole picture. We don't.
And just
that,
one other thing that has always really helped me, and I've heard it from other students, is that prayer about that I am here only to be truly helpful. And I'm here to represent Him who sent me. And when I try to say that every day, or when I go out to get in my car, wherever I'm going, and then I just trust that that is what happens, that He is helping me. I don't need to worry what to say or do. But I have to trust it.
That's the biggest.
Beautiful.
That's the biggest thing right there. Trust.
Yep. That's
your
to me. That's
trust
it.
Is it? It's
it
done.
Is. It is. I think I heard Deidre before.
Oh yeah. I was just gonna echo a lot of what's already been said. Humera, you mentioned, you know, what is the resistance? And for me, really, looking at whenever resistance comes up, it's always that stepping out of the present moment and wishing that the circumstances or the picture looked different than it actually does. That's where the resistance rests for me, because then there's attachment to Deidre or Humera or Corinne or insert your name here. And you mentioned a family member, so I thought I would just share a quick little example, if it's okay.
Of course, please.
There's a situation that's been coming up on and off for the past 4 years with a family member of mine, and every time spirit's just like, when I tap into spirit, spirit's just like, let it go, like give yourself permission to let it go. And there's the part of my mind that thinks I'm Deidre and is invested in Deidre thinks, oh, but it's not loving to let it go. And the Course is teaching us what love is, like undoing our ideas about what love means and what love is supposed to look like, because I don't know by myself. I have to call spirit in for help with that, because I really don't know. I have to be in alignment with the truth of who I am to really experience that. So when spirit says let go, I'm not saying I'm going to blame this family member or attack this family member or think it's about the family member, because it's not. There's only one of us here. But if spirit is giving me the repeated guidance to let go, that means I can let go of the form without the guilt I've attached to, oh, I'm not being loving if I let go of the form. So it's a different picture than what Deidre had in her mind about what love would look like, but it's still listening. I'm still hearing. So even though the picture might not look peaceful on the outside, there's still a higher wisdom at play with whatever is going on. Well, I hope that's
beautiful.
Oh, my God, yes. Very, very helpful. Because, yeah, I do always have this preconceived idea of how it should look, you know, what, you know, it should all be all love and kumbaya and all that stuff. And you're absolutely right. Sometimes, you know, I have a brother, and I think I've talked to you guys about him before, where, you know, he's in and out of the 12-step program. He's, you know, he uses substances, and he's in a lot of pain, and he gets sober, and then he pulls me back into his life, and then he, you know, and then he goes out, and every time I'm there, but then when sometimes I just want to say no, or, you know, I'm maybe it's led to say no, I feel guilty, so then I get in it, I'm trying to create something maybe on my own, and I'm thinking it's the Holy Spirit that's guiding me. So I think there's a lot of, yeah, how it should look, you know, that goes into the dynamic. So that's really helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome. Thank you both. Oh, wonderful. Were there any other comments about this before we read the next paragraph?
I love the, I think it was you, Corinne, that said to really, really know. And that is, like, so true, because we intellectually kind of feel that we know, but we don't have that true, clear, confident knowing. And that's just so true.
Yeah, I can just give an example of, you know, I think our easiest triggers are probably, for many of us, not all of us, but family members. And I have a family member who, one person gave this person a spiritual book. It wasn't the course, it was something else. And the person took a look at it, sort of like flipped through the pages, and was like, oh, yeah, I know all this already. Put it down and never touched it again. And that's just like such a perfect example of that difference between the intellectual knowing, like, yeah, I've heard all this before, but that's different than putting it into practice. That's different than really, really knowing it. So, yeah, thank you, Meg.
I think that intellectual knowing is the block.
Absolutely.
That's the thinking we know.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
Igor. I would like to add, yes, thank you, Karine. I would like to add that it's important to stay practical, yeah? And speaking about resistance on a practical level is about forgiveness, right? And unwillingness to apply genuine forgiveness. For example, when you think about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, and whenever you feel this, what internet calls a butthurt, you know, even if you feel a slight sense of butthurt, then this is the resistance. Chimera, you were asking what is resistance. This is resistance, right there, down there where there is the butthurt. This is the resistance, you see, because we don't want to love them. We want to hate them and blame them. Who was talking about their brother who is on the 12 steps program? Sorry, I missed the name.
Yeah, it was Chimera.
Chimera? Yeah. So, see, if you accept this situation as your problem, not his problem, but your problem. See, and try to apply forgiveness, but from yourself, from your point. What is it in him that triggers you? You see, what maybe annoys you? You see, in his situation that he is in addiction. Mm. See, and try to apply genuine forgiveness to this situation. And you said that you are asking the Holy Spirit. This is the important, this is the whole thing. This is the main thing. If you got this, then everything will be. So just keep asking the Holy Spirit to give you strength, to give you, you know, understanding, to give you this, to help, give you all kinds of help you need to you know, pierce through this situation and understand what forgiveness lesson here for you, not for him. It is not, it is not, not his problem. It is your problem because you are suffering from it, you see. So
can I throw something in here?
Yeah,
because this is what helped, this has helped me more than anything. Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using, in this case, my brother, to separate, to attack myself and separate from your love. Because that's the only problem we have.
Paula, I have been saying that sentence like at least 20 times a day. I'm
yeah,
doing it a lot.
20, 30,
yeah.
40.
Yeah.
100.
No, I'm really, because I hear how much it's working for you, so I'm really trying to incorporate it throughout my day. Whenever I see, whenever I notice any sort of disturbance, whether small or big, come up, I try to use it.
It is so powerful.
Mm-hmm. I would like to interject real
go for
quick
it, Greg.
Just something that has helped me a lot in this area, and hopefully it's appropriate for the understanding of this context. But I try to look at people, the way I hand it to the Holy Spirit for me is, we were told that the land is surely good, flowing with milk and honey. And then these people came back, and a certain amount of people had what was called a bad report. That's the ego. And a couple people had a different report called a good report. And the more I think like this, it's almost like a challenge now. I have this brother-in-law that left the family, come back, and nobody will talk to him. And my wife was upset that I gave him a job back, and I said, I see no sin in him. I see nothing he's done wrong whatsoever. And she started bringing forth all the witnesses. Oh, yeah, well, and I said, I don't believe those reports. And she's like, how could you not believe them? They happened. And I said, I wasn't there when it happened. This in this moment right here that I'm standing in, he's perfect. And because I made that decision a few weeks ago, we got this townhouse out of, coincidentally, people, out of nowhere, through him, that he stumbled into somebody at the shelter where he's living, that the guy's mother died and needed a buyer for the place, and we were coincidentally the buyer for it. But anyway, I just keep telling my family members, trying to tell them, all of these things just keep coincidentally happening to me. I get it, because I'm lucky.
Yeah.
No, it's because my father will not let me down, and he will not let any of you down either.
Oh, I get that.
Gorgeous.
Thank you, Greg. That was awesome. That was awesome. Oh, love is the way I walk in gratitude. What trust and faith. Deidre, was that you?
Yeah, it's just so cool how, like, you're just about to say something and then a brother kind of, like, echoes the same exact thing. So that was really cool. But I was just going to say, like, what, for Humera's question, like, what if, the picture of the addiction or whatever is actually perfect? What if there's nothing to fix? Like, what if you just took that scenario to Spirit and said, okay, Spirit, here it is. And I'm willing to look at the idea that maybe nothing is broken. Maybe there's divinity in this experience. And the reason why I'm sharing that to you is because my dad, who transitioned 2 years ago, was an alcoholic. And I have another uncle that on the outside has issues with drug addiction. But there are wisdom and blessings and lessons that are unfolding because of the appearance of that whatever, right? So it's not my job to decide what is okay and what isn't. My job as a miracle worker is to accept what is, period, and allow nothing to take away my peace. And growing up for a lot of years, I let the appearance of addiction interfere with my peace. And it took being introduced to A Course in Miracles and all of the things that we talk about on these calls every week to give me another way of seeing. So you don't have to have all the answers, but what I felt called to mention to you is maybe looking at it from another perspective, in that maybe there's nothing to change or fix. Maybe there are blessings and lessons that you cannot see with your body's eyes that will show up if you just let go of the idea that something needs to change.
Because I'm really trying to hear you, Deidre, and what I'm what's coming up for me is my body's eyes and my body's ears only witness to the pain that is usually the outcome of the addiction, the behaviors, the situations that he's put in, and the pain that results, not just for family members that love him, but for him. And so it's so hard to switch to the mindset of maybe there's a blessing in this, or maybe this is exactly how it's supposed to be in this lifetime. And I guess me fighting that notion is not going to change it in any way. In fact, I think the more I fight it, the more he's resistant to changing, right?
You just nailed it right there.
Thank you both. I'll just add, I'm just going to add one thing and then we'll read the next paragraph. But there is a book called The Afterlife of Billy Fingers, and I can't remember the subtitle, but it was something about my bad boy brother. And the story is about this woman. She's writing about her brother who had a life filled with addiction. He was in a lot of trouble all the time. People gave up on him, but she never did. And he ends up dying, but she still is able to hear his voice. And he's basically giving spiritual lessons from the other realm to her. The book is phenomenal. And that might be, if you're interested, Homira, just a great, it's a great read for anybody. It's called the Afterlife of Billy Fingers. Like fingers on your hand.
Okay.
You know, I got that on my Nook, and it's like $2.99 or something. It's a very, very, it's a wonderful book.
It is. And I've shared before with everybody, I'm obsessed with, reading about near-death experiences. So there's that in it, which obviously, he passed, so you're still hearing the communication, though, and his description of that. And I think it just is reminiscent to me of, with what you're saying, Homira, just having a different way to see his life and things that are going on. So
thank you.
Beautiful.
So, much,
so let's
everyone.
Thank you. Let's read the next paragraph. Now, I know for FIP folks, it looked like I stopped reading mid-paragraph, and that's just because, again, our paragraph breaks are slightly different. So I'm starting with a sentence, you will not wait to give him this. You will not wait to give him this, for you will call to him, and he will answer you, recognizing in your call the call of God. And you will draw him in and give him rest as it was given you. All this will you do. Yet the peace which already lies deeply within must first expand and flow across the obstacles you placed before it. This will you do, for nothing undertaken with the Holy Spirit remains unfinished. You can indeed be sure of nothing you see outside you. Let me read that again. You can indeed be sure of nothing you see outside you, but of this you can be sure. The Holy Spirit asks that you offer him a resting place where you will rest in him. He answered you and entered your relationship. Would you not now return his graciousness and enter into a relationship with him? For it is he who offered your relationship the gift of holiness, without which it would have been forever impossible to appreciate each other. And I'll pause there. So isn't this perfect? Because I feel like this kind of says, this echoes exactly what we were just talking about. We can indeed be sure of nothing we see outside of ourselves. So whether it's a family member, whether it's politics, whatever it is outside of us, there's nothing that we can be certain of. Everything's changing. As I've said before, even the plates of the Earth's crust are shifting beneath our feet as we speak, so slowly we can't notice it, but everything here is in flux. So nothing outside of ourselves can we be sure of, but of this we can be sure. The Holy Spirit asks that you offer him a resting place where you will rest in him. When we get caught in that flurry, whatever that flurry may be, call it stress, call it worry, call it busyness, anxiety, if we can pause and either rise above the battleground, as the Course says, or I like thinking about it sometimes. I actually wrote a post on this, and I think I might include this meditation in my book. I can't remember at the moment, but dropping beneath your problem. In other words, when I lay back, I have this reclining chair. When I lay back in it, I picture myself taking a step backwards out of the mental tangled web of outcomes that I would like to see. You know, the thinking, the closed thinking, you know, loop, the monkey mind that I'm talking about. I sort of imagine myself stepping backwards, lying down, and just dropping beneath that problem and dropping into the stillness of love that is beneath the ego, you know, that's even beneath that foundation of chaos, and resting there. And that's exactly what this is saying. The Holy Spirit asks that you offer him a resting place where you will rest in him. And in that resting place, that's where, as we have read before, this is from a couple months ago now, when we read the section on I Need You Nothing, it's from that resting place that we are given the guidance of what to do, if anything. So I just wanted to highlight that sentence because that stands out for me. Other comments or questions?
You know, it's becoming so apparent to me right now, because you know, when I talked earlier about calling on the Holy Spirit in these situations, yeah, after 30 years of working with the Course, I trust that. I don't even need the answer anymore. I don't even need to see there's a peace that comes over me when I do that, because I know that he's going to take care of it. So it really is a trust issue that you build over time when you work with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Paula, how long
that's
have you been doing
true.
The Course?
Since 1987, so I don't know how many years is that? Probably about 30 years.
Okay, I will stop comparing myself to you.
Remember, it's not how long we've been studying that matters. It's all this instant. We can make that choice this instant. So
exactly.
You don't have
but
to wait
think,
30 years.
I think it, you know, it really is, you know, just a wonderful thing to just stay with it and stay with it and stay with it. It's so worth it.
Mm.
It is. It is. I agree.
And I think you said this, Corinne. I'm not certain who did, but I just wanted to emphasize that, overemphasize it, the word judgment, to just release judgment. That is so important. And that's something we can actually think about. We can actually think and say, am I judging? Let me not judge.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's so true. That's so true, because judgment is the home of the ego, and we go into that. It's so subtle. It is so, so subtle and so easy to slip into. Thank you for highlighting that, Meg.
Mm. You're welcome.
Let's actually read the next paragraph, because we're going to finish this section this week. the gratitude you owe to him, he asks, but that you receive for him. And when you look with gentle graciousness upon each other, you are beholding him. For you are looking where he is and not apart from him. You cannot see the Holy Spirit, but you can see your brothers truly. And the light in them will show you all that you need to see. When the peace in you has been extended to encompass everyone, the Holy Spirit's function here will be accomplished. What need is there for seeing then? When God has taken the last step himself, the Holy Spirit will gather all your thanks and gratitude which you have offered him and lay them gently before his Creator in the name of his most holy Son. And the Father will accept them in his name. What need is there of seeing in the presence of his gratitude? So here we're talking about seeing the Christ in our brothers. We're talking about seeing through the Holy Spirit's eyes, using Holy Spirit's vision rather than through the body's eyes, because the body's eyes are witness for what is false. But as we learn to turn to Holy Spirit and call upon Holy Spirit and call out Spirit in others, we see those witnesses for Spirit. We speak. I heard this is from Nook Sanchez said this so beautifully. The ego in us cannot speak to the Christ in our brother. The Christ in us cannot speak to the ego in our brother. It's the Christ in me that meets the Christ in them. So if it's anything other than that, it's usually, you know, ego trying to, it's usually us trying to correct our brother, ego trying to correct an ego. So this idea, and again, we can't figure out how to do this, but this is all about turning to Holy Spirit and letting Holy Spirit lead the way and seeing from there. That's what we're learning. That's what Paula touched on with this development of trust. This is the trust that we develop in listening to this part of our very own minds.
That's beautiful.
And the light in them will show you all that you need to see. I love that. So other insights, other thoughts, what's coming up?
Forgiveness and the goal atonement in that line where it says he will bring means and goal in line, is the means just our job is to forgive and the goal is to realize that we're one with God?
That sounds beautiful. I'm not sure which sentence.
I'm sorry. It's sentence 6 in my version, and it's in the first paragraph, sentence 6, where it says, "The peace he lay deep within you and your brother." No, that's not the right one. It says, "The extension of the Holy Spirit's purpose from your relationship to others to bring them gently in is the way in which he will bring means and goal in line."
I think what you said sounds beautiful. For some reason, my eyes aren't landing on it, but what you're saying makes perfect sense. I'm wondering if anybody else, if you found it or if you have thoughts about that, if anyone's willing to chime in.
Yeah, sounds like it went to you, Chimera, right from the Holy Spirit, whom you asking for help so long. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, because it's all about forgiveness, always, right? Even this beautiful sentence you highlighted, Corinne, sentence 5 in the third paragraph, the light in them will show you all that you need to see. In the previous one, sentence 4, you cannot see the Holy Spirit, but you can see your brothers truly. How do we see them truly? Through forgiveness, right? Because usually we see only the crap in people, right? At least I do. Like, look at it. Oh, man. Oh. And when I apply genuine forgiveness, I overlook those sins, seeming sins in them. And then, oh, wow, maybe he's not suck so hard, you know? It's all about genuine forgiveness, and the resistance we have been talking about earlier is unwillingness to forgive. Yeah. And when we do forgive, then forgiveness is the key to happiness. Lesson 121 says. Thank you.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Igor.
You know, Mother Teresa said someone asked her a question, you know, how she's able to do the work that, while she was still alive. How is she able to do the work that she does? And she said, because she sees Christ in every single being. She sees Christ.
I have a big smile on my face.
So that's not seeing with the ego. That's seeing Christ in you, seeing the Christ in the person you're looking at.
Yeah. Awesome. Wonderful. Any other thoughts or insights coming up for anybody? We have just a few short minutes together.
I think, Corinne, what you said last week about we're already home, it's already done, you know, that's mm-hmm. just coming through really strong, that it's, we think that there's all this stuff to do and that, you know, our being lovable or worthy or whatever is dependent on behavior, and thank God that it's not, because it has nothing to do with that. No matter how icky or messy the picture looks, the love is still there, and our only job is to accept that. Like, we don't need to do anything. It's not dependent on what it looks like, because it already is. So, yeah.
That's a beautiful, I think, point to end on for our call. And Deidre, I'm just so grateful that you brought that up, because this is done already. And can we just, even for a moment, I feel like I invite all of you, I'm going to do this, when we hang up the call, just pause before you go about your evening, or if you want to go move into a more comfortable chair, and just see if you can just rest in rest in Holy Spirit's arms. Just rest in knowing that all is well, that we are safe. There was something that we read early on, in the first paragraph that we read tonight. The extension of the Holy Spirit's purpose from your relationship to others to bring them gently in will quietly extend to every aspect of your lives, surrounding both of you with glowing happiness and the calm awareness of complete protection. So can we just be willing together to rest for just an instant even in glowing happiness and calm awareness of complete protection? Because that's what we have, as Deidre is saying, right now. It's not later. It's not in the past. It's right now.
Powerful.
So on that note, we're at the top of the hour. I love you all. Thank you so much for showing up and doing this work and making these calls so rich and so deep. I can't express enough gratitude for how much these calls are so helpful for me. So thank you, everybody. I love you all.
Thank
Have a great
you.
Week.
Love you.
Thank you. God bless you all.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.